From the land of Grand University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report for the third day of August, 2021. I'm Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities in Newmarket, Indiana, and Don Day from Cheyenne, Wyoming will be here to take up the weather forecast. Gary Schnittke has written an article for the Farm Doc Daily website detailing the 2022 next year's corn and soybean crop budgets for highly productive soils in the center part of the state of Illinois. We'll hear from him, and we'll check in with a farmer who's using a draper head on a forage chopper because the drought has done so much damage to the crop that he can't take it in with a normal chopper head. And we'll do all of that right here on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
December corn down 7.5 cents today at 551 3/4. The March at 560 1/4, 7 lower. November beans down 33 3/4, $13.19 3/4 the settlement price there. January down 33 1/4 at $13.25 1/4. Bean meal off 8.90. The bean oil down $1.26, and wheat futures were down 5 cents for the day. Wayne Nelson from L&M Commodities in Newmarket, Indiana, now joins us to discuss what happened in Chicago. Usually we like a turnaround Tuesday, but not when the turnaround is to the downside. At least farmers don't like that often.
No, neither do most brokers I know. You know, we have a lot more fun when we can tell our customers the market's up today, and we're seeing a little bit of activity going on that way. But, you know, we started the morning talking about StoneX going to be out this afternoon with their guesstimates on the yield, and that way, the last few years, StoneX has been at the high end of what the yields are going to be. So that was a little bit of a put a negative bias towards some of the stuff here this morning. You know, last year's August report, they were at the guesstimates, they were the biggest estimate out there like that. Then we got benign weather that sort of come along with it. And, of course, we got fooled a little bit on guessing the crop conditions on the beans yesterday. They were up 2%. So that, along with us, had a little bearish tone to start the day, Todd.
Yeah, well, the beans really were the market that fell apart most throughout the day. I suppose in part because of those crop progress numbers. We'll hear some more about those in just a minute. However, corn, while it lost quite a bit, it did bounce back up and finished in the middle of the range.
Yeah, the corn bounced back. We got closes above 550 in both the September and the December corn futures, and that's just a little bit positive along the way. You know, the weather forecast is very sort of finicky right now, and it is leaving us the idea that there could be modest rains or just sort of benign weather, and we're too far out with most of these forecasts that were the rains being called for to get really, you know, too overly like that. The one thing that we are looking at is, you know, the Chinese have not been buying any beans. There's sort of the feeling that they might continue to buy beans because of the late harvest in Brazil, that they might still be able to ship beans into October, which generally they're out of beans by then. And the idea that their feed rations, they've been using more wheat and barley and having not quite as much bean meal, and they've had negative crush margins over in China, and that they're hanging off, and that's one of the things that put a little pressure on the beans. And palm oil and Malaysian oil has basically taken sort of a dive over the last few days and has got quite a bit cheaper, too. So that isn't helping their crush margins.
What do crop conditions look like in your area?
Oh, here we're looking tremendously good that way. You know, but we are looking, you know, I think we've got as good a corn as we've ever had in this area. And the beans yet to be determined in the respect that I don't think anybody's went out and checked the pod count. Now, we were talking to some of the other guys in different areas, especially down in Arkansas, that were out and checked their pod counts, and they're not very happy with them. The bean pod counts are a little bit low in some of the areas just outside of Memphis that way that we have on one of the crop tours. Now, we're going to have some more crop tours going on up here, different elevators, different places like that to see in the near future. But for right now, you know, things just look wonderful in our area.
Well, we'll find out more about what the USDA has to say next week when the first crop production report is due out for the season for corn and soybeans, that is. We'll look forward to that. StoneX, you said, has some numbers out today, and we'll get a bunch of numbers, I suppose, throughout the week this week, too.
Yeah, you know, as we see more of those numbers, it's going to give us a little better idea. A lot of times maybe more reliable, and some of the farmer-submitted numbers that go into the government for them to do, because I'm not sure everybody fills them out quite as the way they should. I don't know. What do we think about that?
Hey, thank you. I appreciate it.
All righty. Thank you, Ted.
That's Wayne Nelson. He's with L&M Commodities. Yesterday afternoon, the United States Department of Agriculture released the weekly crop progress report. 91% of the corn around the nation, it says, is now silking. That compares to the 86% five-year average. 38% has entered the dough stage. 33% is the five-year average. 47% of the crop in good condition. 15% excellent. Last year, by the way, that number was 55% for good and 17% for excellent. 86% of the soybeans have bloomed at 58%. Or potting. 52% is the five-year average, 48% in good condition, 12% excellent. Last year, those numbers were 58 and 15. Now, here are the statisticians with updates from their regions.
This is Melissa Couch, statistician for the USDA NASS Iowa Field Office with the weekly crop progress and condition report. Most of the state received much-needed rain Friday, July 30th and Saturday, July 31. Although moisture levels improved slightly in northwest Iowa, the shortage remains evident with topsoil rated 62% short to very short and subsoil rated 82% short to very short. Corn silking or beyond reached 92%, one day ahead of the five-year average. Corn in or beyond the dough stage reached 42%, 4 days ahead of average. 5% of the corn crop has reached the dent stage. Iowa's corn condition was rated 62% good to excellent. 93% of soybeans were blooming, 9 days ahead of the five-year average. Soybean setting pods reached 73%, 8 days ahead of normal. Soybean condition was rated 61% good to excellent. For the USDA NASS Iowa Field Office, this is Melissa Couch.
This is Mark Schleusener, state statistician for Illinois with the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service. Last week's weather was mixed across Illinois. Rainfall averaged 9/10 of an inch and was slightly above normal for the week, but western portions of the state were generally wet and eastern areas were drier. Temperatures averaged slightly above normal for the week. Topsoil moisture levels were rated 3% very short, 14 short, 76 adequate, and 7% surplus. The Illinois corn crop is now silking on 96% of acres compared to 95% 1 year ago and 92% for the five-year average. 49% of acres have reached the dough stage compared to 44% normally. 6% of corn acres were rated very poor to poor, 26% were fair, and 68% of Illinois corn acres were rated good to excellent. That is better than the previous week. Soybeans are blooming on 87% of acres compared to 76% 1 year ago and 82% normally. 59% of Illinois soybean acres are setting pods compared to 52% normally. Soybean conditions were reported as 7% very poor to poor, 26% fair, and 67% good to excellent. That is also better than the previous week. This has been Mark Schleusener with the Heartland Region, Illinois Field Office of USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service in Springfield.
There was no audio update from the state of Minnesota this week. However, they do say that scattered showers provided some limited relief, but that most of the state remains very dry and in need of more rain. Topsoil moisture levels there are rated 42% very short, 39% short at this time, and 96% of the corn crop has silked. 96% of the soybean crop has bloomed. Both are within 1 day of their weekly average. Our thanks do go to the state statisticians for their weekly updates of crop progress across the Midwest. You know, here in Illinois, things look really good, and there's been plenty of rainfall for a portion of the season. That's not really the case in all parts of the Corn Belt. In fact, if you go further to the north and the west, things begin to tail off, and then if you get really far to the west, things tail off fast, and they've been suffering through a drought in parts of Canada to the northwest, and even in the Dakotas, North Dakota in particular, around Bismarck has been really, really dry. I called and talked to a farmer there by the name of Clark Coleman, who's been harvesting corn. That's right, he's been harvesting corn now, which he expected to be harvesting later this fall for grain, but is cutting for silage. Let's hear a little bit about his operation first.
Oh, we raise malting barley, spring wheat, durum, soybeans, sunflowers, corn. We'll do canola. I've got some chickpeas in this year. We do a lot of different things. We have a pretty intense crop rotation on our farm.
Have you been back towards the Red River Valley, and how do things look for you near Bismarck as compared to the eastern side of the state, if you have?
It's better on the eastern part of the state. Yeah, every mile I go east from us, it gets better. There's spots in between there that it's, you know, maybe struggling a little bit, but yeah, it's better. It's better east, southeast. It's better, you know. So, and there's a few places southwest of us. They've gotten some nice rains. Small areas, but there are some fairly decent crops southeast of us. So. Southwest, sorry.
You have livestock as well?
Yeah, we calve out about 600 head of stock cows.
And so usually you use part of the corn crop and maybe all of it. I don't know whether that is the case or not as silage.
Well, we usually chop, you know, on any given year, we're 12 to 1500 acres of corn, and we chop, you know, 150 to 200 acres of it, depending on what our feed needs are for that year. So, yeah, this year it's all going to get chopped. We're not going to feed at all. I've got some neighbors and stuff that are really short on feed, and so we're going to, you know, help them out with some silage too. So, yeah, but it's all, you know, I had a neighbor pull in the yard today or into the field here. I'm waiting for trucks right now, and he said, well, how does the adjuster adjust this corn? I said, well, I'll show you. And so we counted off, you know, 15 rows or 15 stalks of corn. And I said, now you go pick all those cobs off of there, and then we'll peel them back and see what's usable, because I've had this done before. So you break off the top part that didn't get pollinated and the bottom part. And so they're about the size of a, what can I say? I don't know, about the size of your thumb or maybe a little bit bigger than your thumb. And they're about 4 inches long. And I counted the kernels around there, and they're 14 to 16 round and 15 to 20 kernels in there. Yeah, to get that to fill when, the, you know, the rest of the corn crop or the leaves on the corn are all drying up, that cob's not going to make it. So, you know, the decision was made to let's put it in a silage pile and try to make feed out of it, you know.
Earlier today, Jerry Gulkey from the Gulkey Group texted me video that you did with the local TV station there, KFYR.
Yeah.
And you're using a Draper head that on the front of your chopper. Why is that the case?
Well, this corn is, you know, some of it's only a foot and a half tall, maybe 2 feet tall, and my row crop header just won't push it in. You got to have corn pushing corn in order to get it into the chopper, and so this light fluffy stuff would get right in front of the feed rollers, and it would just kind of burl and bubble up there and get caught in the fingers and stuff, and it just wouldn't go through the chopper. And so I kind of knew that, I kind of felt that this was probably going to be the case when we started chopping. So we started looking around to change our chopper around and get a Draper header. So we were able to find a Draper header that would go on our chopper. It's a Draper head specifically built for choppers. You know, I don't think there's very many out there. I know there's a lot of guys calling right now trying to figure out how they can make maybe a Honeybee or a McDon header or something go on these choppers. And, you know, I've talked to the people from the industry and those companies, and yeah, it's not an easy task. And by no means is this header working great, but it's working a heck of a lot better than the row crop header.
Yeah, my first thought actually was I can't imagine that the sickle bar would even in spindly corn, manage to cut that and not break. So apparently this is a Draper that's built differently.
Well, you know, as far as the Draper head and the canvas part of it, it's basically the same as a Draper header. It looks almost identical. Just a few modifications have been made that I can see. It's heavier built. It doesn't have the wheels on the side for floating. It's got big, heavy leaf springs underneath the front axle here to kind of as a support. But it bounces off the ground from side to side. So it is different. You know, I don't know if you could just pull up to a Draper head and make that work. So
for the year, do you have a crop that will actually be worthwhile?
I think our sunflowers will probably make it. It'll be way less yield than what we are used to, but they are flowering now. They are filling. They've got a taproot that will go down, you know, a long ways to get to moisture. But even with that, they need to have a little rain once in a while. You know, we've been in the 90s almost every day for so long. I don't even know, 15, 20 days without any moisture. And so, yeah, it's you know, they're going to need something here fairly quick too. So.
Hey, thank you. I appreciate it, Clark.
Yeah, no problem. Good timing. I got a truck pulling up right now.
That was Clark Coleman from Bismarck, North Dakota. He was on the chopper when I talked to him earlier today. By the way, if you'd like to see that chopper with the Draper header in action, you can do that on our website at willag.org. Look for the link to the TV story by KFYR out of Bismarck. On this Tuesday, let's check in with Don Day at Day Weather from Cheyenne, Wyoming. Thank you, Don, for being with us today. I want to talk a little bit about Kansas and Nebraska. As I'm looking at weather forecast online for them, and this has been the case for a couple of days, by the time we get to Saturday and Sunday, and then even on Monday and Tuesday of this coming week, the high temperatures in Lincoln, Nebraska, Manhattan, Kansas are 98, 100, 103, 104 degrees through that period, although it does look like there might be some rainfall. Do you have a differing view or a confirming view of what that case might be?
Well, yes and no. There is certainly some heat coming, and we see this developing. As we get into this latter part of this week, you know, we could really start talking about that heat starting as we get into Friday. And then as we get on into Sunday through Tuesday of next week, there will be some 100-degree temperatures across Kansas, parts of Nebraska, as you mentioned. But there's also going to be a cool front coming out of the Northern Plains and Rockies that's going to suppress that heat, probably back down south into Oklahoma and Texas. So there's some heat coming probably for about a 3 or 4 day period before it's interrupted with a cool front.
Does the cool front bring rainfall with it?
It will. Now, right now, at least our analysis is not showing that it will be a lot. You know, one area that has really been dry for the last several weeks are parts of Nebraska and Kansas. There has been rain on either side of those states, but not moving on through. So while we do see some shower and thunderstorm activity, especially with that cool front, this will probably be around Tuesday and Wednesday of next week. There's going to be parts of central and western Kansas that with the heat and the dryness, it's going to be a concern.
How many more days here in Illinois will we have of just fantastic temperatures topping out in the upper 70s and low 80s?
Yeah, certainly no one's complaining about those temperatures, that's for sure. And, you know, we are expecting that those comfortable temperatures are likely going to persist until we see some of that heat that's going to build in the western areas moving in this weekend and into the start of next week. So, you know, we're looking at temperatures by Monday and Tuesday that are going to be 10, 15 degrees above normal. Probably the hottest day will be Tuesday, but then by Wednesday through Friday of next week, there will be a frontal system that will take the edge off that heat.
Hey, thank you.
Thank you, sir.
That's Don Day. He's with Day Weather in Cheyenne, Wyoming. Gary Schnitke is now here to discuss crop budgets for not only this year, but for next year as well, and we might delve into a few previous years along the way. Thanks, Gary, for being with us. This is your first pass, I think, at the 2022 budgets, really, for corn and soybeans in the state of Illinois on highly productive soils in the central part of the state. And again, as has been the case in many of the past years, soybeans look like they'll be the better choice of the two.
So what we did, we again projected for 2022. We are using a 450 corn price and a 1235 soybean price, which is pretty close to what fall bids are right now for 2022. Those prices give soybeans an advantage in central Illinois, and all our budgets would show soybeans have an advantage across the state. Part of the reason for that, is also the much higher fertilizer cost for corn than soybeans. We're projecting a $40 rise in soybean, or excuse me, fertilizer cost from 2021 to 2022. And overall, it's about $60 to $70 since 2020. So we're seeing those fertilizer costs increase quite a lot. And that's leading, again, to soybeans being projected more profitable than corn for 2022.
How does it compare to previous years, 2020, and then maybe 17, 18, and 19?
2022 is projected to be a profitable year at this point in time. Less profitable than 2021, and we're basing that on a 525 corn price, 1360 soybean price, and above average yields. So we'll see where those come out. But 2021 is going to be by our projections a really good income year. 2020, as it turns out, was a very good income year. As well, a lot of that due to higher prices, as well as, you know, those MFPs and CFAP payments those years. If you go back to the period from 2015 to 2020, the 2022 is projected to be more profitable than that period as well. And most of that is based on a much larger corn and soybean price. During those two periods, 2015 through 2020, we saw corn prices at $3.70. We're currently projecting $4.50 for 2022, so considerably above that. For soybeans, we averaged $9.10 from 2015 through 2020, so we're at $12.35 for 2022, so well above those prices, and that's leading to our profitability.
And speaking of which, usually landowners like a piece of that. They're likely to ask for that again this fall. You haven't written about it yet, exactly, again, but I suspect you will. What do you think will happen with cash rents?
Yeah, there is going to be upward pressure on land cash rents. Part of that is because of the higher returns in 2020, 21, and now projections for 2022. We put in a projection of a $10 increase, you know, $15 to $20 increases likely will occur on some places. I would really suggest taking a look at a variable cash rent, because, you know, variable cash rents would have had pretty good cash rents for the 2020 and 2021, matching what actually happened. The concern that you have is you raise the rents this year, and rather than getting $4.50 for corn in 2022, we get $3.70 again. So we got a mismatch there again. So that is the concern.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome, Todd.
Gary Schnitke is an agricultural economist here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. Joined us for this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.